Sounds like a party, doesn't it?
Mambo!
Mambo! Yeah, I spoke with Evelyn Loreline years ago when the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra did this piece before, and she said it's really hard as a flutist to stop what you're doing and say, Mambo! I'm so pleased to welcome back to the WLRH studios, Gregory Voida. How was your summer?
It was busy, on and off, like a little vacation, short vacation, and then work, and then vacation, work, and... It just feels like, you know, time flies when you do that. You know, uh-huh. It's not like you go to the beach and you're there for, I don't know, 3 weeks or so. But you always, you know, thinking about what's next. And and I did some nice, you know, time off and also some good work. So it was a good summer overall.
And we're happy that the symphony is back in session. The concert features music of George Gershwin, Igor Stravinsky, and Leonard Bernstein. We just heard a little bit of the West Side Story Suite, which will wrap up the program. And the concert begins with a piece that we don't have in the music library, so you're going to have to sing it for us. Tell me about Slava.
Well, this was a concert opening that was written for Mstislav Rostropovich, who became... in the 70s, the music director of the National Symphony in Washington, D.C. And him and Bernstein were friends, and so he asked Bernstein to write a piece. The subtitle is a political overture, but it's not really political. It's just, you know, fun circus music. And it depicts, you know, the early days of politics in Washington, D.C., when people would, you know, be standing around the corner and yelling and trying to get votes and, you know, so like this historic way of conducting politics. And maybe, I don't know, maybe in the concert hall there in Washington, D.C., they overheard Congress a little bit or something like that. Because it's loud and it's fun. And it's just a perfect way to open this concert. Also, honestly, we have played all other overtures by Bernstein. So, you know, it's his 100th anniversary this year. So I wanted to definitely do some Bernstein. And I think people don't necessarily know this piece, but they're going to love it.
That's what opens the concert. And then another piece that everybody loves.
And that is the Gershwin Piano Concerto. And Gilles von Santel is here, who is French, but he's living in New York. Mm-hmm. And so the funny fact is that you're going to be hearing... Gershwin with a Frenchman and a Hungarian man there. But of course, it's international, and the style and this piece is just gorgeous, gorgeous. And it is just as much work for the orchestra as it is for the piano player.
And it sounds like still a lively, fun piece. We think of George Gershwin, we think of Tin Pan Alley. And this piece had a pretty interesting backstory. Originally, the Rhapsody in Blue was part of an experimental music program, and Walter Damrosch happened to be in the audience, and he overheard it, and he commissioned Gershwin to write this piece. And Gershwin was like, sure. Then he realized, you know what? I've never orchestrated anything before, because he would hand off his songs to other orchestrators, like Rhapsody in Blue was orchestrated by Ferdy Groffet. So he had to go and get a textbook called Orchestration and then figured it out from there. But it seems to have worked out for him.
Oh, yeah. He read that book really well.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot of things about orchestration from a book, but of course, you really learn how to orchestrate from practice. And Gershwin, of course, had different type of practice in it. So just like the Rhapsody in Blue, the first version is with big band. It's not with orchestra. So Gershwin was really familiar with how to, you know, orchestrate. Like the second movement of the piano concerto starts with a beautiful trumpet solo, you know, and that sound is really coming from the world of jazz.
Thank you.
We're listening to the slow second movement of George Gershwin's Concerto in F. And to me, as a casual listener, it just sounds like the blues. It sounds like something you'd hear on the streets of New Orleans, but it's more challenging.
It is. Well, first of all, you know, notating something like blues and, mm-hmm. and swing is... it's not easy, and especially for someone back in the days like Gershwin, who came from, you know, playing it, playing and writing it, and then try to translate that into the language of Western symphonic music it was something new. And I was just thinking as we were listening to it, like how many other composers after Gershwin came and followed that path, and how many composers, including Bernstein, mm-hmm. of course, learned from him how to do it. And he was really the pioneer here. It was really, just discovering how to do this thing, like how to get this style, take this style, and put it on a symphony orchestra,
and put American music on an international stage.
Absolutely, and everything came after this. I mean, put American music on an international stage of symphonies, right? Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because in jazz clubs, America was already winning, mm-hmm. but this translation. Of a very American born genre, and to be able to make that work with pieces like, you know, this program is an Americana program, even the Stravinsky, and we're going to talk about that, but this Gershwin piece is being played with many other pieces, you know, and it fits Brahms and Beethoven perfectly, so that was the real secret there, I think, that Gershwin got right.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did Stravinsky get invited to this party with Bernstein and Gershwin?
Stravinsky got invited to the party because, of course, he lived in the U.S., and not long after moving here, he wrote this symphony. And he said that, you know, if I don't come to America, I could have never written this piece, because he said that, you know, this is the American rhythm, like sitting on a train and looking out and seeing the streets and how the pace of life and how everything is like just has this rhythm. And that's what he said, that like I composed this into this piece, and especially the third movement is, I think it's very American in a way, so he really could not have written this without experiencing what life is like here. And also it has a reminiscence to Rite of Spring, so I think mm-hmm. this is kind of like an American Rite of Spring.
Well, listen now to a portion of the third movement of Igor Stravinsky's Symphony in Three Movements. Couldn't help but notice that there's a piano in there.
Oh, yes. And if you think that movie composers learn something from Stravinsky, you're not mistaken. Uh-huh. And it also does have some qualities of what Bernstein wrote later. So, you know, Stravinsky was another big influence mm-hmm. on many people. He brought his own style and just fertilized everything here in American musical life. Of course, it all started back in the days with Rite of Spring. But the sound that we hear, and we're going to listen to the second movement a little bit, because of course, this piece is from the times when, you know, Stravinsky started writing, or was still writing neoclassical pieces, mm-hmm. meaning like he was imitating a little bit the classical masters, and this second movement, for example, sounds a whole lot like, you know, some kind of very strange Swan Lake.
Maybe not swans, maybe flamingos, penguins.
Whatever bird you want, but you know what I mean. It's really dancey music.
Oh yeah, it is very balletic.
It's very ballet. Uh-huh. And of course, Stravinsky was very experienced in writing ballets. But it's interesting that he's writing a piece for symphony orchestra, and then the practically the entire second movement is like a piece of ballet music.
I was telling Gregory off the air that the more, I wasn't familiar with this symphony in three movements, but the more I hear Stravinsky, the more I love it. Why does Stravinsky get under your skin like this?
Well, because he was a genius. And whatever style he was writing, he was, you know, famously called a composer that always wears a mask. And indeed, this is different from, you know, The Rite of Spring or Petrushka, or it is very different from what he was writing towards the end of his life. But you can still recognize the music. You can always recognize that it was written by Stravinsky because the way it not only gets under your skin, but also the way the notes connected and all these ideas are coming one after another. And it's just great music to listen.
We're listening to the second movement of Igor Stravinsky's Symphony in Three Movements, which you can hear live tonight at the Mark C. Smith Concert Hall. Huntsville Symphony Orchestra kicking off its classical season with Gershwin and West Side Story. The concert begins at 7:30. We also have some Leonard Bernstein, the Slava Overture we spoke about earlier, the amazing piano concerto in F performed by Gilles von Sadel, who won the Avery Fisher Grant not too long ago. So he's a force to be reckoned with. And then there's more Bernstein. And Leonard Bernstein once said, if you're a good composer, you steal good steals. Who do you think he stole from?
Everybody, if you ask me. But genius is just like Stravinsky. I mean, they were stealing all the time. It's not what you use, it's how you use it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, composers like Bernstein or Stravinsky or even Gershwin, I mean, they were writing so much, right? And they didn't necessarily care, like, oh yeah, I remember, oh, there's this melody in my head. Oh, maybe they heard it 30 years before that and they didn't realize that, like that famous trumpet solo in Petrushka by Stravinsky. He was actually sued for that.
Really?
Because it was an actual music by some unknown composer, and that actually helped to shape the copyright laws in this country, that actual case. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because is what they do with the notes and the melodies, and it's how you write it as a composer. It's much more important. It's actually where the melody is from.
Music critic Kenneth Tynan described this piece. It says, it sounds as if Puccini and Stravinsky had gone on a roller coaster ride in the precincts of modern jazz.
It's funny. Yeah, it kind of is like it. I mean, Bernstein himself, you know, was a pianist and a conductor and a composer. So all those things intertwine and you know, you just don't know where you pick things up. Like Mahler was the same way. You know, he picked things up in the opera world. He was an opera conductor, and then he would put it in a big symphony. So, so these things are coming from somewhere else and being turned into something amazing by these composers.
There's so much going on. Of course, the percussionists sound like they're working overtime in this prologue.
They should.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like something that you need to see.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, you know, it's always great to listen to music. And, of course, I listen to the WLRH all the time. But come there and experience the energy that, that an orchestra, only a live, you know, performance with a live orchestra can give you. This is the piece where it, it really counts, because it, it's just so much fun to play, and, mm-hmm. and that actually releases even more energy from musicians, and you just want to be there live, and it's just a great experience.
And we can't talk about the first concert at the Huntsville Symphony. I noticed in the program notes that the concert is dedicated to our mutual friend, Hunter Thomas. I was so sad to hear of his passing.
Yes, indeed. It is very strange to, you know, start a season without Hunter, or anyway, do a concert without Hunter. It's just like he's not here. It's just so unbelievable. We're trying to do everything to remember him, mm-hmm. and the concert is dedicated, you know, not so much to his memory, but just celebrating his life. And, mm-hmm. and I was just listening to that two bassoon part in the Stravinsky, and whenever, you know, I hear the bassoon, I just look up, and it's just so strange that he's not there. And he was just such a great guy and a great friend and a great musician.
A great friend of the radio station. And his motto for his New Year's resolution, I'll always remember this. At the first of the year, he posted, "My motto for this year, less cancer, more cat videos."
That's so Hunter.
So we'll celebrate Hunter Friday evening beginning at 7:30 at the Mark C. Smith Concert Hall, Gershwin and West Side Story. The number for more information is 256-539-4818. The website is hso.org. The Music Explorers Club will be led by musicians of the Huntsville Symphony Orchestra Saturday morning at 10:15 at the Public Library in Monrovia. And then Gregory's doing a pre-concert talk, too.
That's right, and I'm having our wonderful guest pianist on stage with me, which is always more fun than just listening to your own voice, right? So, and I always have questions to these wonderful artists that come to town to play with us, and I'm really looking forward to a conversation about the Gershwin.
And you can hear the Gershwin and the Bernstein and the Stravinsky again beginning at 7:30 at the Mark C. Smith Concert Hall. Gregory Voita, always a pleasure.
Thank you.